Western culture lacks a healthy role model for good intimacy and sex. If you were lucky enough to have been raised by parents who truly loved each other and had a good sex life as well, that may have helped. But even then, you didn't get to observe how they interacted in their most private intimacy. And most likely, due to cultural taboos, they didn't talk to you about it very much. In today's civilized world, the most common role modeling for love and sex that most of us get is from the steamy romantic scenes in movies. And for the most part, the only instruction is either from magazines or from the peers who have read the magazines. And for many men, the role models come from pornography. Unfortunately, magazines and movies are not first and foremost interested in providing information on healthy sex and lovemaking. It's not the film producers and magazine editors' job to care how fleeting, misleading, or meaningful the pleasures they're advocating are. Their job is to make good sales, of course. Furthermore, movies provide a strong visual imprint. Humans are biologically designed to learn appropriate actions by observing and then copying what we see. That's how children learn. That's how each of us has learned most of what we know. Since movies are usually the only visual imprint we ever get of sexual relating and intimacy, most of us, and this happens totally unconsciously, believe that the way we should relate must be similar to what we see on film. And most movies pretty much go like this. Boy meets girl, they have wild, scary adventures or some sort of drama, and then they end up in bed, passionately kissing. The minute the kiss starts, their eyes close, the scene soon ends. Sometimes we see a bit of movement in the shadows, or perhaps we hear a few sound effects. But of course we know that they're having a marvelous, passionate time, wordlessly, effortlessly, mutually enjoyed. That's what many movies imply. The next scene is usually under the bed covers the next morning when all is relaxed and well. Of course, more exciting drama follows, but sex is never an area of concern. It's a rare movie where the man and woman even discuss their sex life at any point. Most recently, movies have become outrageously explicit in the sexual arena. But almost always, the scenes are far off the mark in terms of depicting healthy, sacred sexuality. Same thing goes for most of the sex scenes in romance novels. They're also misleading people, because they're almost always wildly steaming hot with hardly any preamble. And it goes without saying that the lyrics of popular pop and rap songs aren't any more realistic. So as a society, we're imprinted with the belief that great sex should happen passionately, on its own, without any effort. This explains why we're so reluctant to put effort into our love lives when we're so willing to work on just about anything else. We unconsciously believe love and sex ought to be effortless. If we fall short of that, it must be our fault. Or our partner's wrong, or the relationship is a failure. This belief that great sex should happen on its own is quite in contrast to the practices of the spiritual traditions of Tantra and Taoism, as you'll see in a moment. Yet, paradoxically, great sex absolutely can be and should be effortless. If we could only relax so deeply that we can hear our hearts and our bodies and our souls' true nature. Often, when a couple is newly in love, things are great, because the partners are fresh to it, so present and full of willingness to listen, before disappointments and old habits get in the way. After the initial happiness, in my experience, most couples stop experimenting and communicating in the area of sex way too soon. Often I'll ask a couple if they've tried a certain thing, and quite a few times their response is, "Yes, we've tried that once." Once? When you want to learn something, let's say tennis, and you miss the ball once, do you walk off the court and say, "It's hopeless"? No, you don't. Yet that's how people seem to be when it comes to their sex life. They try something, it doesn't work perfectly right away, and they give up. We are so easily embarrassed and so fragile in our sexual relating. Right now, I'd like you to take a moment and think of something in your life you've wanted or have been excited about so much so that you've been truly tenacious about learning it. Maybe a sport or a hobby or your career. Something that you've been willing to go through all kinds of trials and tribulations for to get good at. Can you think of something? Do you remember the effort you've been willing to invest? That's the kind of perseverance I want you to apply to your sex life as well. Don't give up so easy. Be willing to feel a little embarrassed and shy. Have the courage to make a fool of yourself. Yes, it's awkward sometimes, actually totally mortifying at times to talk about these things. But do it anyway. Be playful and tender about it. It will bring so much intimacy and fun to your relationship. For couples who've been together for a while, I have a few tips for you that'll make it safer to break out of the established status quo of your sex life. One rule I set for couples who've decided to embark on this journey of improving their love life is this. You're not allowed to question why your partner hasn't told you a certain preference sooner. Like, when they're telling you something they would like or something they don't like about your touch after you've already been together for 5 years, or 10, or 20. Don't make them wrong. Don't ask them why they didn't tell you before. Don't say that you feel like you've been fooled. Thank them. Be ecstatic that they're now getting around to telling you. I know I'm a little facetious here, but I also really mean it. And I'm trying to make light of something that we're also very vulnerable about. And what we like also does change. Our bodies and minds can change as time passes. We may find that we like different things or that our body seems to function differently. This change can be ascribed to different things. Saturn return, childbearing, menopause, midlife crisis. It doesn't really matter. Just accept that we do change. This will surprise you, but a lot about learning sacred lovemaking is actually an unlearning process. With exposure to so much TV and movies, sexual imprinting almost can't be avoided. This is nothing new. Erroneous beliefs about sex have dimmed our innate sense of knowing through the ages. This was so before our time, back when we grew up, and is still true today. Wisely guided opportunities to explore their sexuality weren't and aren't readily available for our young. Yet the beautiful natural physical urges are nevertheless alive in them. So especially many boys and young men find an outlet for their innocent biological promptings in what's easily available, pornography, which is not the most loving role model of sex there is. By default, many girls indirectly learn about sex through pornography as well. It's no one's fault. It's a phenomenon of our times. Consider for a moment how you learned to be sexual. Who taught you? How did you find out how to behave in that realm? I, for example, learned to masturbate from watching 30 seconds of a porn flick in a peep show in Paris. I was 17 by then. How I got to be in that peep show, and how I could be so clueless about the pleasure my body could give me so late in life, is a story for another time. The point I'm trying to make here is that I was a fairly ordinary teenager, cruising along with other kids, and this is how I got some of my sex education. Needless to say, I went straight home and tried out what I'd watched the lady on the movie do, and amazingly, it worked. But there was nothing sacred about learning it this way. It wasn't until much later that I discovered the potential for grace, love, and divinity that my sexuality held. And nowadays, people don't even have to leave their homes to have access to this kind of material. The internet makes it available right in their own bedroom. In contrast to our current cultural lack of sex education, many ancient traditions had built into their social structure specific practices, rituals, initiations, and ceremonies, guided by wise elders and shamans, that instructed the young and provided learning in all areas of life, including sex and love. These rituals were carefully guarded, structured with great detail, and handed down through the ages to provide sacred learning and the passing on of ancient wisdom. Tantra and Taoism are examples of such traditions, and there are numerous others. Many tribal cultures also were very sheltered and so could allow space for their young to explore their bodies quite freely throughout their childhood and adolescence. But there's good news. And the good news is, not only do our bodies love to make love, more importantly, our bodies are designed to make love. Our bodies and hearts know exactly how to do it. It's in our blueprint. Our bodies know how to create love through the pleasure of physical union. Making love is the most natural thing on earth. It's what men and women are meant to do. So no matter what our history or our age, if we're willing to listen to our innermost truth, if we're willing to slow down enough to deeply feel our bodies, our hearts, and spirit, our beings will guide us to divine love. Then we can enjoy all of life's most precious gifts, pleasure, love, joy, and ecstasy.